Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
It's the Funny Money with Jenny Winter.
Good day, beautiful listener. Might I say, you're looking exceptionally attractive. Yeah, you are. Look at those earphones. Oh, except if you're not wearing earphones, in which case, those ears, hot, hot, bloody hot. So ears are so underappreciated as a sexual being, I find. Anyway, it's look, coffee. That's all I'm saying. I need a bit of coffee. Before, I don't know what's happening. Please forgive me. I think I've got like fourth podcast episode-itis where, you know, I'm just letting, we all know each other now, so I'm letting it all hang out. I don't feel like I need to be polished anymore. Oh, gosh. Lucy Pute, what can I say? She's our guest. She's a hilarious lady. Very, very funny. Comedian doing great things around Brisbane, mother, and has a massive gap between kids, which I cannot understand. So it was really interesting to talk to someone whose uterus did amazing things 20 years ago and then more recently. So I'm going to share that wisdom with you now. Please enjoy this crazy intro and Lucy Pute. Welcome to the podcast, Lucy Pute.
Hey, thank you for having me.
Oh, I'm so happy that you're here. It's just lovely. So for our lovely listeners out there, can you explain a little bit about yourself? Who is Lucy Pute? How do you describe yourself?
Oh, gosh, I'm all over the shop. I'm mother, writer, performer, uni student, all around general dog's body. I don't feel very glamorous right now, I'll be honest.
I only allow non-glamorous people into the studio. Yeah, it's like the opposite of a bouncer on the door. Not in those shoes. Go put some thongs on. So, okay, well, where do we begin? Like, where? Tell us, first of all, how many kids have you got and how old are they? All that jazz.
We have the thoroughly modern family. We have the yours, mine, ours. So the eldest is 20 and my stepdaughter is 17 and Henry is 6.
Wow.
I know.
And that's quite a spread of ages.
Yeah, it is.
Did you have to think long and hard about going for the third one so far after the rest?
No, I don't know what happened, but I hit 30 and I just had to have another baby.
Wow.
And my husband even tried to bribe me with saying that I'll take you to Paris for your 40th if you don't. No
Seriously?
Bribes, nothing. And I could not breathe until I got that baby. Oh, I don't know. There should be a pill for that, but there's not.
Oh, my God. I mean, if Paris can't drag you away from procreation, there's no hope.
No, there is no hope, darling.
Wow. So was your 40th just like shit? And he was like, well, I told you.
I'm not
like,
there yet.
Oh, you're not 40 yet?
No.
Oh, my God, I'm so way ahead of you.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I just assume that everybody is my age.
Oh, yeah.
That's my problem.
Yeah. The nearing 40 thing, though, that's a thing. Did you feel that?
Absolutely. Actually, it's so true because, I mean, it's just a number. I'm very happy to be 40 because, well, my mum died when I was quite young, so she was only 33. So to me, I'm like, this is brilliant.
Darling,
like, I'm happy to get older.
Definition of success.
It's so good. But yeah, but I think you do have that, like, holy hell, like, I'm statistically halfway through my life, and what do I want to do? Like, what do I want to change? Like, what do I... I think it is a big time for sort of reassessing. Yeah, including never having another child, ever.
Well, I swear, if it does happen again, that next child's getting a bottle and a nanny, midday C-section.
You live and learn.
Oh, I know now.
How was it having another baby when you were so aching for it?
Oh, my. It was great. And everything's changed so much. So birthing is this glamorous surrounds. You know, it's not the sterile hospital environment anymore. I had a lot more fun this time around.
And having just, the, like, physically, yeah. like, not labour. Are we talking about?
Oh, I was lucky to get there. Oh, my Lord. Well, I thought I had hours, didn't I? Because the first one takes forever.
Yeah.
And this one, not so.
Did you make it to hospital?
Just.
Really?
Yes.
I cannot imagine. Do you think it's better or worse? Like, is it, because I've heard that people that have it really, really quickly, like, yes, it's over quickly, but it's absolutely complete agony.
No, birth is just generally shit.
Yeah.
Am I allowed to say that?
Please.
But I did hypnobirthing, so I don't remember it as such.
Seriously?
Yeah, so I didn't sound very hypnobirthy, but I remember it in a calm blue ocean kind of way.
Wow. So, God, tell me about that.
It's a lot of breathing, mm-hmm. A lot of self-hypnosis, fooling yourself into thinking that it's going to be fine, and it usually isn't. but then it's over and you go, oh, isn't that lovely? So, yeah, I remember it as being great.
Oh, my God.
But it did not sound great, I assure you. There was no silent birthing from this mother.
I cannot understand how anyone can be silent.
I think if everything's working the way it's supposed to, then I think it's possible. But when you're, like, posterior, you've got a breech or all of the other joyful things that can happen, I think that makes it a lot harder.
Well, you know what? With my third one, I swore so much that my husband, now my ex, not entirely because of this, but possibly didn't help, said to me afterwards that he was ashamed of me.
Like, no way.
Yes. Oh, and he felt so well, he's a very devout Christian, so there's that as well. Not the entire reason, again, that we divorced, but didn't help. Yeah, like that I swore like a bloody sailor. But I do remember right at the end, like the last half hour, you know how you get to a point where you just surrender and nothing even matters and you're just like, oh, for God's sake, like this done. And I was silent the last 30 minutes. I had nothing left. I had no sailor's curses.
Wow.
I had nothing. And I was honestly silent. I just was lying there just thinking. I mean, it was absolutely freaking agony, but I had nothing in the tank to even scream. So there you go.
No. I had a theory. If I could scream louder than the pain, I was fine. That was very loud. It was very loud.
Test that theory.
Maybe
we should come up with an earplugs for midwives kind of brand.
Oh, they can't hear anything anyway.
They're all deaf.
Yeah. Every time I asked for drugs, they ignored me. It's like, can she hear me? Probably not.
I feel. Oh my God. So okay, and so from kids, what came first, comedy or having your third kid? When did you start doing comedy?
The third child came first, and I was writing from home, so I was sort of just doing a little bit of copywriting and whatnot and not leaving the house. And then I found myself getting really shy, and I was getting nervous chatting to clients on the phone, and I thought, oh, that's a bit weird. So I looked around for public speaking courses, and Toastmasters was not it for me. And and comedy just looked more fun.
That's incredible. Like, to especially because you know how most people will be like, oh my God, that's my worst nightmare. You're so brave getting up on stage, all that stuff. To go from feeling shy to the point of phone anxiety to getting up, that's quite a big jump.
Yeah, but I knew it was the perfect antidote. So I knew it was the only way, is just to face whatever you're fearing and just plow on through it. And it's funny, from there, I sort of would ask myself, what else can I do? And that's how I landed myself in law school. Whether or not that was a good choice, I don't know yet, but we'll wait and see.
That's amazing. From hypnobirthing to stand up to law school.
Yay, I know. It's a downhill run. We tried to, you know,
I love that you think law school's a downhill from stand up.
It is. You should see them. They're very dull. Very dull.
You know, a lot of stand-ups are lawyers or have been lawyers.
Yeah.
In your past life. Sean McAuliffe, Tom Gleason. Yeah. I'm sure there's a billion others.
I know. It's an expensive hobby that we have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Law.
I don't know. I like what it's done for training me to think differently about situations. And it's also enlightened me to be open to the possibility that I don't know everything. And that's been very humbling, because I think we get so insular and we have such a small world that you sort of stomp around in that, and then you don't realise that there's all this other stuff going on around you. And I think that's what's been helpful to me with comedy, because I don't think anyone would be interested in anything I had to say if I wasn't more educated. Before then, I was the reason women wouldn't get the vote.
No!
Now I feel a lot more compelled to try harder.
Wow. Mm. So that's so interesting. So do you mean by that, like when you get on stage doing stand-up, you feel like you need to actually have some shit that you know what you're talking about, like you need to actually have stuff that's meaty?
No, I don't feel that way at all. I really enjoyed philosophy mm-hmm. of law, and I think that was something that sort of opened my eyes to being able to craft bits around economic analysis. Like I have this gag about a parking ticket, and it turns out for about $88 you really can just park wherever you want. And so that's sort of, for me, like that was something that was helpful, being able to get that punchline equation scenario happening, you know, or things like it was perfectly acceptable to be naked in the strip club if you're the stripper. And so these are all fun things you pick up at the courthouse. But I think scary. But, yeah, it's helped me in that respect to understand more clearly how to arrive at a punchline quickly.
Oh, that's so interesting. So inspo in law land.
Yeah, who would have thought? Yeah.
And what about inspo in mum land? How does that work?
No, children are dull.
Oh, really?
Very dull. I don't know. I just remember one day looking at a stain and thinking, is that Vegemite or poo? And
it's the question
not being
since
able
the dawn of time.
I know. And you know, happy to venture further to find out, which, you know, that I have to question my motivations there.
It's like the old school DNA kit, like the CSI investigation. It's just the sniff test.
What stain is that? Yeah. Scary.
Oh, my God. And so how did you, like, I don't want to say how did you get funny. Like, is humour something you developed in response to something? Like, did it come out of something dark or, like,
no,
what happened?
No, I was not, I'm not funny as a default. And I think when I was trying to be funny, it was probably the most painful thing to watch. I get accidental laughs at times and I can't really figure out why until I sort of go away and think about it.
Do you mean on stage or off
stage? Yeah, on stage and off stage. I mean, I guess it's that sort of natural tendency towards aspidum that sort of makes you a little bit less aware of things. But I always take note of where the laughs are and I sort of sit down and think about it and go away, write it down and try it again and see if it happens. Not always funny.
So do you write your material by having like an incident where someone laughs and you think, oh, later that's funny, I'll write that down? Or do you actually sit down and write stuff that you think's amusing?
You're going to think I'm a horrible person, but I call my mother every day. And
yes, you're a terrible person.
I'm terrible.
Get
she
out.
Has dementia. Aww. And I run all my comedy via my mother every day just to see if the laughs are consistent or not, because she won't retain the short-term stuff. And I use her as a way of being, if she has no reference point, then, and she thinks it's funny, then it should be universally funny.
Wow. And so hang on a minute. Are you saying you use the same material?
Yes.
Repeat it.
Yes. Same conversation. And eventually it trickles through.
Genius.
Eventually it trickles through. So I don't do a lot of open mics. There's no need.
Your mum's your open mic.
Yes. And she's a wonderful person. But I have this bit about, you know, I like to play this game with my girlfriends called Who Would You Do? And, of course, you know, you get the usual responses like Sean Connery, he's a bit of a dish. And I said, oh, well, I'd like to do Malcolm Turnbull. And she's looked at me like, who's Malcolm Turnbull? Oh, sorry, Mum, it's like popular culture. Don't worry, darling, we'll move on. So it was one of those things that, you know, even the punchline can be lost on your audience straight from the get-go.
If they don't have the frame of reference.
If they don't have it.
Wow.
So, yeah, like I play at all the nursing homes.
You're a massive hit every week.
Yeah, every week.
You could up that to daily if you really hit into that niche fully and
know.
Commit.
Does it pay well? I wonder.
Highly doubt it, knowing aged care as I do.
Aren't I awful, though? Isn't that terrible?
Oh, my God. No, but
she
if she loves it, yeah. Like, I mean, if you're punishing the poor woman with it.
Sometimes I do.
Set.
Sometimes I do. She's like, oh, no, I think you've told me this. I'm like, oh, okay.
Oh, my God, amazing. But that's lemons. That's lemonade out of lemons.
Yeah,
there was.
Pretty much.
That's
well,
amazing.
No. I adore her. I adore her. She's forgotten how to push my buttons.
Oh, that's the best. You've got, like, the, like, ultimate dementia or arrangement.
Oh, this is perfect. I don't ever want her to recover. afterwards. She actually said to me the other day, she's like, do you get lots of material out of it? I'm like, yes, but I was just waiting till you were dead. And she's she was very happy. She was like, oh, no, don't waste it. Use it now.
Oh, isn't that beautiful? Yeah. So she understands that she has dementia?
Yes.
Wow. And so that must be so full on though. Like, as you know, fun as, you know, it's great that you found something beautiful out of that stuff, but it still must be very sad.
No, I told her she's wasting an opportunity because she's still doing the laundry. I said, no, go stand next to the laundry and just look confused. And then Dad won't let you do anything after that.
And oh my God.
She is the most fabulous woman. So when she was having chemo and radiation, she couldn't taste anything at all, but could taste oysters and champagne.
Are you shitting me? Mm-mm,
not at all.
Oh, my God.
I know. Every day, religiously, no wonder she recovered. And
she's like the Beyonce of aged.
Oh, she knows what she's doing.
Oh, my God.
She's 69. I was like, 69. I wish I could live to 69, you know, just so I could say 69. But my father makes her a 3-course lunch every day. Yeah. I know. All she had to do was fuck up dinner just a little bit and suddenly she can't cook.
Get out of town.
Yeah.
What do you mean Brussels sprouts and ice cream aren't a thing?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, 3-course meal. So, that's amazing.
No, she's living her best life. It just took a long time.
Holy shit. That is amazing. Mm. Oh, my God. Yeah. Well,
cause I'm not her favourite, though.
No? Who's her favourite?
I don't think she has one. She hated us all equally. She just, not maternal, my mother, not maternal.
Oh, my God.
How's boarding this? School featured strongly in our family.
Right.
She was smart. If I could have afforded it, I would have done it to mine too.
How's that influenced you as a human being then?
Boarding school.
Yeah.
Oh.
A mother who, didn't like you.
She did not. I wasn't very likable either. Now let's be fair. Those teenage years, they're fun.
This is what I'm hoping, that they come out the other side. My daughter actually is coming out the other side now, which is awesome.
How old is she?
She's 17.
Oh.
And I'm just.
No. There's another one. Don't pick too early. Yeah, there's another one.
No, there's not. No. I'm just going to pretend I'm your mum, and I'm not going to remember that at all.
That's all right.
I'm just like, the day will come when they'll realise they were complete assholes, and they'll say, "I'm really sorry," or even not, "I'm sorry."
Oh, no, I did.
Just
that
let me be nice to you. Mm-mm. You did apologise.
I did. I said, "I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry."
Wow.
She goes, "You realise that by apologising to me, that's not going to fix your problem." I was like, "I know, but I'm so sorry. So sorry." And yeah, so she forgot that. So I had to apologise quite a few times.
Stand up and then the apology.
Yeah, absolutely.
You've got to be careful because at the end of your shows, you might get that muscle memory and brain and start apologising at the end of every show.
I'm so sorry, guys. Oh, gosh. Yeah. No. Your parent. Not as fulfilling as I thought it would be.
Did you really think it would be fulfilling?
Yes.
Really?
I honestly didn't expect any thank yous. Don't get me wrong. It just the fuck yous.
Those were unexpected. Yeah, I know. 3-year-olds suck.
Yeah.
It's full on. There's definitely glimpses of fulfillment. There's glimpses where you go.
No, there's not.
There's not.
No, it's a big lie.
I get little like pinpricks through a fabric.
That's hormones, darling.
Right.
Up and down for the rest of your life, and then down, 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 down. That's basically how that works.
Oh God, it's so depressing. Mm. What keeps you going then? Like when you know? How do you cope with life then?
Oh, it's just like this delicate balance of alcohol and Valium, I suppose.
It's a good lesson. There's any sponsors out there?
Well, you should actually read it. I think a bottle of Valium costs like $5. I mean, when you put that next to your alcohol bill, seriously.
Well, that's here in Australia. We're very lucky. Yeah, we're very lucky.
Thank you, relaxed culture.
Oh, my God. I do actually get Valium every now and then for my back. Like, if my back is terrible, if nothing else will fix it, I'll go. Mm. And because I only do that, like, maybe once a year, so I've got them saved up. So then if it really is a horrendous day, like, I do not want to get addicted to anything. But, yeah. Yeah, I see why it's the drug of choice for housewives in the 50s.
Isn't it funny? But, you know, that's that isolation aspect. I don't want you to think I'm really on Valium. I'm not. It's just another gag. But I think the big thing with that I've noticed is the isolation. So you could be surrounded by people in the suburbs and still be incredibly lonely. And I think not having your girlfriends around you, that's what I loved about Funny Mummies. It's that camaraderie that sort of creeps in, and it's important. It's super important.
It is, yeah, absolutely. And solidarity, and I think especially with motherhood, because like no matter, I mean, there's obviously a million different ways to do it, a million different kinds of families, a million different kinds of kids, but there's so many similarities that, like, you get it. Like, you get each other.
Even across cultures.
Yeah.
You look at another woman across the lift from where I live and we get each other. And I think, too, is women are experiencing sexism and all the isms at the same rate. It's very much, you know, all we've got as far as being a progressive country is economic superiority, and that just adds an extra layer. So I think women, we get it, but also at the same time, you know, you become divided into, you know, good, bad mum or sporty mum or the mum that chats. And so when you divide and conquer, you actually weaken women. And I think that's a common political strategy as well. And so once you keep all of those fighting amongst each other, you're not really uniting for the common cause, which is essentially feeling content and well within yourself with the life path that you've chosen. Isn't that deep and meaningful?
That's very deep.
It is. It
is. Wow. Covering the whole gamut.
I try to cover up my intelligence. It's hard.
Can I ask, so like with the dividing thing, that's really interesting, and labels and the, from the too posh to put, like, a lot of these labels are inherently critical of each other. But, I mean, do you feel, I feel like women are just as bad as doing that to each other as, you know, as men can be? Like, there really still is that.
But someone once said to me, they chose to do this, but do you really have free choice? Do you really? And when you break that down.
As in chose to have kids?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, our understanding of life and where we are and our place in the scheme of things, a lot of that is indoctrinated. I mean, my husband, stupidly, we only had a pink toothbrush left, so he ended up with the pink toothbrush. Silly me saw the pink toothbrush in front and just didn't question it. Just, you know, our gendered society says, I have pink. I went, oh, pink must be mine. Yeah, no, it's not mine. So it's kind of, you know, a lot of that is on autopilot, and I don't think we even realise, like, what you don't know, you don't know. And just because you can't imagine it doesn't mean it won't happen. Like, it's still happening within relationships that are relatively equal. They're still not equal.
No, I know. It's so interesting, isn't it? Like, I was reading this book. It was by Naomi Wolf, and it was from years and years ago. But it was talking about how she observed that even amongst her quite ardent feminist friends, once they had kids, despite all of the, it's going to be 50-50, they had partners who were on board, like, absolutely, never was. And they always ended up doing the bulk of the housework, the bulk of the childcare. And why is that? Like, even when you are very conscious about it, that gender, it's really hard, it's hard to shake.
It's liberalism. it's the reason for everything. That's why I think, I used to think that, well, I was lucky, I married for love and I chanced a couple of things along the way. But, you know, I realise now, as horrible as it sounds, I think your job is to find the richest cock you can and just follow it around until it lets you suck it, really. You know.
Oh, my God.
And it's not even
Please
being
look out
sexy.
For Lucy's line of Hallmark cards for Valentine's Day. LucyPute.com, guys.
I know. Well, pretty much that's accurate. I mean, you know, and in the moment it gives you grief, just say next, you know. Like, why are we so caught up in the happy family scenario? It's not happy. No one's happy. Don't be silly. Stop it. Just get a feather boa and fluff and swan around the CBD. And honestly, if anyone's looking for a new husband or girlfriend for that matter, because they all know what they're doing, you know, just come with me and I'll pick you a new one. It's just, there's so many of them to choose from. So this feeling lonely, it's from within. It's not actually what's happening outside. But you actually have to go out and seek out other people to realise that.
And there's the rub. That's the hard bit, especially if you're feeling quite isolated and that gets you right down in this little spiral.
Yeah,
that's so hard, because the thing you need is the hardest thing to go out and get.
Yeah, but that's why we go to birthday parties. It's just so you can check out other kids.
Is it?
Yeah.
For me, it's the cheesels.
No, whatever. No, I just check out other people's kids so I can feel better about mine. I'm just fine.
I just go, oh, they're all shit. Oh, good. Like, it's not that they're worse. I'm just like, yeah, it's so nice. I think the most beautiful sound to my ears since having kids is another kid melting down. I'm like, that's like a bloody Brahms symphony to me. Like, oh, I feel wonderful.
High five the mum as you walk past. Yeah, yes. Totally.
Isn't it the thing too, though, like when people are like tut-tutting, like, parents of kids having a meltdown in the supermarket or whatever. But if you're another parent, you're just like, oh, dude, I feel ya. Like, to the other parent, it's just solidarity across the board.
I just turn around and go, whose kid is this? Who's left the child unattended? Like, and yeah, I've had a few of those. It's been fun.
I remember actually when my daughter was probably one and or two maybe, pushing her out of Carindale Shopping Centre, stark naked in the pram, screaming her butt off. Oh, and I did not even give a shit. Like, these little old ladies eyeing me off evil, like, how dare. And I was like, you want a piece of me? Like, come on, bring it. You want to dress her? Be my freaking guest.
Have a go. Oh, have a go.
Good God. Just crazy. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. So, back on track, where are you going? Like, what are your plans? What are you...
Oh, there is no plan.
Where to from here?
I have not planned any of this. It was an accident.
Wow.
Like the first child. So, it's all right.
That's a good life strategy.
Oh, it is.
Accident to accident.
Well, you know, I love how people used to peer in the pram and they'd look at the baby, you know, look at me and look at the teenagers and think I've had an oops. And it was the one that learnt to reverse park. So, you know, I'm just like, oh, you know, that's my life plan. That's my strategy from the get-go. It's just fail my way through and see what happens. But, I mean, lots of really fun things have been happening. And I think that's just off the back of being me, which is the hardest thing in the world to be, that just to be yourself and accepting that that person isn't what the world told you you are. And I think that's really cool because for me now, I'm not afraid anymore. So if an opportunity comes my way, I say yes and figure it out, you know. And I think I'll just keep doing that from
here
on in.
Did you always feel like that?
No.
Did something happen that changed, or was it just gradual?
I think just a lack of confidence generally, and also to being a young mum. I was a very young mum. And the world then, I actually have quite a poignant story to share on that note, was that there was a lady, I remember being in Centrelink, and there was a lady there who, you know, had backdated my application because, you know, there were no bathrooms in the office that I was waiting for hours on end for. And she said, no, I'm really glad that we have this payment for you now because I wasn't able to keep my baby. And I was like, wow. And it's never left me. Never left me. So once upon a time, we didn't have a choice, whereas I did have a choice. It was a limited one. But at the same time, it was possible. So I think now, like, planning wise, I'm probably better off if I just don't. I mean, Centrelink's got my back. I'm sure it's been a lot of years, but I'm sure they were still pretty friendly. Funny, you never remember that, like, forget the customer reference number, though.
I know. I could recite mine off by heart right now. I won't, but yeah.
I'm like, oh, my God, I'm branded. Like, I've not needed it for such a long time. But I was like, no. If I have to quote this baby, I'm good.
I got this.
Yeah. So, and, you know, the patience of a saint that's always required for our lovely public servants. But, yeah. So, I don't have massive aspirations. I have things that I do every day. And I write. I perform, I always push forward, and as things unfold, I just say yes. Because I think that when I was trying so hard to make things happen, they would disappear. And disappointment creeps in, and that's not the point. Because if you're not laughing, it's no point, is there?
That's
next
right.
Stop's death, darling. Then you get to rest.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, gosh, I've got some rapid-fire questions
do you
for
just?
You.
I know. Isn't that dull? No, on that depressing note.
Oh, no. That's absolutely beautiful. And it is really good to be grateful. And I was also a young mum
and
not planned at all and went through the whole, God damn, can I even do this?
Yeah, like, you can.
Yeah.
You don't even have to be there for it. Now, you don't have to be a good mum.
I'd like to do hypno-parenting.
Hypno-parenting.
Yeah, just look back and go, I remember that blue wave.
I did wonderfully. I don't know. I think there should be a hypno-parenting because we're all shit at it. But then we go, we did everything we could. We gave them everything. And no, you didn't. It's just never going to be good enough. Just accept that your job is to fail. Fail fast, move on. It's just next chapter.
And they'll continue the cycle.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I love watching people complain about their parents on stage. And I think, oh, a little bit of that's true.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. For possibly more than a little bit too. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Okay, so Lucy Pute, rapid fire. So your life motto?
If you're not having fun, you're doing it wrong.
Woo! Love it. I would totally 100% back that up. A moment probably explains why my toileting's going down the shitter. Anyway, I'm going to edit that out. Okay.
Thank you for that. What don't I have fun with?
No, I don't.
Toilet time is quiet time.
It's not party time.
No. Well, you know the tampon wrappers and things? Mm. Yeah, the kids thought I had lollies in the loo. She always eats her lollies in the... Mum does lines in the laundry, darling, not lollies in the loo.
Oh, my God.
Children underestimate me.
Amazing.
Yeah. Wasn't always a good mum. Okay.
A moment that you're not proud of.
Oh, all of them. I'm not proud of. Well, yeah, the Vegemite poo scenario, like which is what. Not proud of.
Oh, I've got one.
I do.
Yeah, go on.
I do. I told the children to pick up everything because the cleaner was coming. Life wasn't always this posh, but it is now because the cleaner was coming. And one of them picked them up because she knows I'm genuine. That was the birth child. Stepchild thought she'd pushed the boundaries a little, and that's allowed. And she didn't pick up everything. And the husband, of course, just leaves everything wherever because that's where it belongs. So I went around the house on the day that I said that it was supposed to all be picked up, opened every door. There's like 17 doors in this house. No windows, just doors. Must have been cheaper. And proceeded to throw things out the doors as to clear the space. And the cleaners arrived and then said, well, you did say it would be clean for us to clean up. And I said, yes. And the children are just looking at me dazed, like, what's going on? Like, empty milk cartons cleared the fence. I've got a very good arm.
Oh, my gosh.
Then my husband's father shows up and everything's on the lawn and he says nothing, absolutely nothing, and takes my husband down to go and do some fencing. And then, of course, I, being the only one not doing anything, proceeded to pick everything up off the lawn. So I should have done it myself in the first place.
Oh,
so, no, I'm not proud of that moment, but... it felt good.
Oh, my God. Well, I bet the first bit felt good.
Yeah, first bit. Slightly embarrassed, but I should have experienced that a lot more deeply, but I didn't, because then blame creeps in, and it's much better if you can blame someone else psychologically.
Oh, yeah. That's my life motto, actually. Oh, my God.
She's an odd one, but we get there in the end.
What is the best advice that you've ever received?
Ignore everyone.
You are so funny. You are like the most antisocial social person.
Oh, that's Asperger's. That's a diagnosis. Ignore everyone. If you ignore something for long enough, it eventually goes away.
It is that hypno approach to life.
Except for cancer. It's, yeah.
That one, yeah, that is shit.
Yeah, so don't ignore that one.
No, no, no. That's officially sanctioned by the Funny Mummies podcast. Don't ignore cancer, okay? What is the worst advice you've received?
Oh, if you haven't made it by your time you're 30, don't bother.
Oh, God damn. You know what? I cannot believe it when it's human. This is the thing about coming 40, right? Yeah. You suddenly tick the different box.
Yes.
Like when it says, what's your age group? Mm. And it turns to 40 to 45. And you think, oh, my God. Oh, my God. Here is the biggest insult in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Around the corner from our house, they've just opened up a little, one of those outdoor gym playground things?
Mm.
And it's got like the workout equipment.
Mm.
On the workout equipment. Okay. This is like those bullshit little arm presses that are like, you know, it weighs the size of a baked beans tin.
Mm.
Do not use this equipment. If you are over the age of 40 and haven't consulted a doctor. And I'm like, what?
have sex more rigorous than that. Come on.
But it's
hanging from what? The chandelier, still just quite nicely. I'm fine. Sorry.
Doing my pull-ups on the chandelier while we do
Well, we
it.
Have to find less neck strain. I mean, it's just... Some things support. We need to be conscious of, yeah.
I'm like, I'm working out more just despite that damn thing. I'm like, oh, 40. What a crock of shit.
Mm.
And isn't it wonderful? I love when you read stories of people who have just become ridiculously successful later in life. I can't remember what her name is. Not that this is ridiculously successful, but there was a woman on Desperate Housewives who played one of the neighbours. Like, she was a really major character. She moved to Hollywood when she was 50 and started doing auditions and then got this role and, you know, the rest. Like, this blah, blah. It really shits me to tears when people act like there's an expiry date on it.
Yeah. Well, I was told quite young, so 30 seemed a long way off. But it rocks around pretty quick, as you know.
Right.
And so does 40. So I just ignore everyone now. That was the other tidbit, you see. Just ignore everyone.
And that is excellent advice. It's very... Now. I get it.
Tautological, but
context.
Very good.
Excellent. Complete this sentence. Being a mother is...
Exhausting.
A frickin' man. And finally, Lucy Pute, written on your tombstone will be...
Here she rests.
Wow! No more exhaustion! Amazing!
We try.
Oh, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. And where can people find you online?
You can find me on Facebook or at the pub.
Either or. Why not both?
Yeah.
Excellent. Thank you so much for being with us.
No, my pleasure, and thanks for having me on.
Bye. Thank you so much for joining us on the Funny Mummies podcast. If you haven't already, make sure you join our group on Facebook, the Funny Mummies group. Also, we have funnymummies.com, which has upcoming gigs, shows, fun stuff. You can find me, Jenny Winter, which is WYNTER, why? Because I can. At jennywinter.com, you can find me on Facebook at Jenny Winter Comedian, Instagram at Jen Winter. And your child could be the voice on this podcast. So if your child would like to say, with Jenny Winter, record that as a voice memo, send it through to me. You can either send it via the Facebook group or via my website, and they could be the voice on the next episode. Thank you so much for listening, and I hope that you find some funny in your day.
It's the Funny Mummies with Jenny Winter.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.